We love Alla Lacto Free. It tastes just like regular dairy, but without the lactose. So we've been able to enjoy all of our favorite meals without any worries. Go and find out more at allalactofree.co.uk.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
Born into a family with nothing. I was born in Akron, Ohio, single mom, six kids, five boys and a girl. My mom probably was similar to some of your parents. She had a couple themes to get us out of poverty. One was the fetus was going to be fully developed after graduate school. She would remind me, you're either a doctor, a lawyer, or a failure. And so school was the most important thing in my family. Mom was not interested in sports. She's still not interested in sports. I played college football. She showed up. She still doesn't, I don't think, know what a touchdown is. But she showed up for me. My mom worked two jobs. She was a second grade teacher and then packed our dinners in a paper bag, drove us around in a station wagon, filled up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat. Super happy. My life was full of love, but I always felt there was one thing missing in my life that would complete all of the love and happiness that I had, and it was just money. Anybody here want to make a lot of money? Anybody want to make a lot of money in sports? Yeah, me too. I thought that being rich was going to solve everything that was missing in my life. And so everything that I did had an outcome of how much money would I make. And so the first thing I wanted to be was a professional athlete. Anybody here want to be a professional athlete? He's already figured out what it took me a little longer. Yeah, take it. You can look at your videos. I don't care what you do. It's your loss, not mine. I'm not one of those guys that's offended because you're watching TikTok. As long as you're watching my videos, it's fine. No kidding. money was super important to me. And I thought I was going to be a professional football player. Maybe you thought as well. And I got to be a freshman in college, playing college football. True story, I remember I was the fastest one on my college football team as well. There was one problem. I weighed 147 pounds. And so they put me as a bullet on the kickoff team. I returned punts and kicks. Wasn't going to see the field unless it was a situation where they needed someone really fast and small, which there was a few. Anyway, I remember lining up my very first college football game, thinking to myself, this is it. I'm going to prove to everyone in the world how great I am at football. This is the start of my career. So I fly down the field. Of course, I'm the first one to get down there and get through. And I hit the ball carrier square into his thighs. And I remember thinking, yes. And the next thing I know, I'm literally flying backwards onto my back. And the running back stepped on me and kept on going. Now, that player's name is Christian Okoye. Later the next year, he was a senior, a 23-year-old senior. I was an 18-year-old freshman. He weighed 260 pounds and was equally as fast as I was. His nickname in the NFL when he won the AFC Player of the Year was the Nigerian Nightmare. And I still have nightmares about Christian Okoye, although he's my friend and he's much smaller now, much slower like me, and a lot nicer. Occidental College, so I played Division III football here. I tried to play here, I told Antonio. I tried to play here, but for some reason they didn't want me to play. I would have. I got in, not because of football. Anyway, I remember lying on my back after getting run over and thinking to myself, doctor, lawyer, or failure. And so I was pre-med as a backup in case I wasn't going to be an NFL player. And I went to UCLA to visit my oldest brother who was in med school here. And I visited him in the medical center, UCLA Medical Center at the hospital. And I was a freshman, football season was over. And I looked around and he said, what's the matter, David? I said, I hate hospitals. He almost fell over. He goes, dude, you're pre-med. I go, I know, I hate hospitals. He goes, you know, in order to be a doctor, you have to be in hospitals. Now, I was 18 years old. Anyone here 18 or younger? One of the problems with sports and any profession that I've found is that we don't know anything about what we think we know or where we want to be or better. We don't know about our dreams, the professions. We just think we want to be whatever it is we want to be. And the only reason I wanted to be a doctor was I wanted to make a lot of money. And my friends whose dads were doctors, they were rich, especially compared to me. And so I literally didn't know doctors had to be in hospitals. And this is when my brother gave me the best advice of my life. He looked at me and said, David, you need to be more interested than interesting. You need to be more interested than interesting. You need to start asking questions from people who sit in a situation you want to be in and ask them for help. You need to be more interested. You can't assume that you know everything about a doctor because they make money. I thought that sports doctors worked in locker rooms and sidelines. I had no idea how much time it took in a hospital to become a sports physician, especially an orthopedic surgeon, the amount of time, money, and all the other things that were involved. And still I became more interested. But because I hated hospitals, I decided that wasn't for me. Now I wanted to be a lawyer because they also made a lot of money. But at least this time when I decided to be a lawyer, I decided I'd be a lawyer that made a lot of money. So I did my research, I asked questions, and I found out that oil and gas litigators made the most money out of law school. And that was my objective because I knew money would buy me more happiness, love, and joy in my life than I ever dreamed of. Even though I already was happy, even though I had an amazing amount of love in my family, every problem I had had to do with money. Something would break down, couldn't afford to go to summer camp, definitely couldn't afford to go to this program. And everything I wanted, money was the only reason I couldn't get it. So I said, oh, I know how to solve this. I'm gonna make money. I'm gonna be an oil and gas litigator. So I went to Tulane University because they were the top school in oil and gas, maritime law. And they had the most graduates working for oil companies and big law firms who had oil and gas litigators. And the jobs in 1992, far before you or maybe even your parents were born, 1992, you made $150,000 plus bonus being an oil and gas litigator right out of law school. And that was a lot of money. So that sounded good to me. So I went to Tulane, studied really hard. And when I graduated, or before I graduated, I got offered a job by an oil and gas company for $150,000 plus bonus. But I also had a maritime professor who was the leading publisher of the Louisiana treaties. He was an author of a treaties that was called the Civil Code. See, Louisiana, why it was so attuned to oil and gas is they taught not only United States common law, but the Napoleonic international law, Napoleonic Code. And so that's why for oil and gas, it was a great school to go to and why so many oil and gas companies and high-priced law firms that worked in oil and gas hired kids from Tulane. Do you see how intentional I was compared to the doctor dream I had? Compared to the football player dream I had? Because I realized in my life, there's this mathematical equation, what you pay attention to, plus what you give your intention to, what you do, say, think, feel, and believe. If you pay attention to be an oil and gas litigator and you do everything, say everything, think everything, feel everything, and believe everything aligned with being an oil and gas litigator, it'll equal the coincidence, the consequence, the result, or the outcome that you want. That's what it takes. It's a mathematical equation of luck. So when you see people have vision boards and they put on their screensaver exactly what they want, they have 4.0 up there, or they have $1 billion or whatever it is you want in your life, if you pay attention to that every day, only to remind yourself that I'm going to do everything I can, say everything I can, think everything I can, believe it and feel it, regardless of what other people think, that's what creates the coinciding of the universe, the coincidence, the consequence, the result. And I will tell you, I've represented the biggest names in sports, the biggest names in the world. Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Warren Moon's my partner. We had Sabathia, Ramirez, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis. Every single person you can think of, I either represented or worked with in some capacity. And every single one of the billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers that I've worked with have one thing in common. They all have a desire that they must be what they can be. They all give their full intention to what they want to be, and they allow themselves to change their mind. From football player, to doctor, to lawyer, to, for me, selling legal research online. My intention was to make a lot of money for one reason. I always ask myself, for the sake of what are you going to make a lot of money? I want to buy my mom a house and a car. That's all I wanted in my life. And so I took a job selling internet in 1992 because it had a $250,000 comp plan. Compared to $150,000, that seemed like more money. I wanted more money. Even though all my friends made fun of me, my mom told me that I needed to be a real lawyer because the internet was a fad and it was never going to last. And I was making the biggest mistake of my life. Second lesson for you, this might apply to you. Appreciate your parents. Appreciate your aunts and uncles and your siblings. That means to respect them and know that they're trying to add value. But just because somebody loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice. So it's okay to treat your parents' advice like a handful of sand. You know, take it all in, smile at them and say, thank you. I'll consider that. I'll appreciate it. But if it doesn't resonate with you, or you don't think that they know what they're talking about because they're not in a situation that you want to be in, just let it fall through your hand like a handful of sand. But when they give you a kernel that resonates with you, like be more interested than interesting, or just because someone loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice, hold on to that. And so I sold legal research online. 9 months out of law school, I was a millionaire. 3 years later, we exited for $3.4 billion. I never worked in sports. I worked in technology. And I continued to pursue the technology, thinking money would buy me love and happiness, into the Silicon Valley, where I raised hundreds of millions of dollars in middleware, transcoding the internet onto flip phones, and then becoming CEO of Samsung's phone division in 1999. I was 31 years old, worth over $100 million, running one of the most powerful phone companies in the world at 31. Married to my dream girl, with everything from the fourth grade, by the way. She hated me way back then, but somehow she married me. I had everything I ever dreamed of. And I will tell you, at 31 years old, with all of that, it was the most unhappy, miserable time of my life. I had everything I dreamed of, except for I lost who I was. And it would take me 6 years to figure out that money doesn't buy love or happiness. It just allowed me to shop. But I had to learn how to shop for the right things for the right reasons. Because if you shop for the right things for the right reasons, now money becomes really powerful. My mission and mission statement in life is to make a lot of money. I think it's important so that I can help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. To do what I want, when I want, for who I want, for as long as I want. That's rich. I know a ton of people that make more than I made, more than $100 million. And they can't do that. I can. That's why I'm here today. Because I do what I want, when I want, with who I want, for as long as I want, every day of my life. And I help other people do the same thing. Now, after 1999 as Samsung CEO, I met a guy named Lee Steinberg. They made the movie Jerry Maguire about Lee and his firm. And within 48 hours after meeting Lee Steinberg, he offered me the CEO job of the most notable sports agency in the world. Why? Because I was a lawyer? Nope. Because I had extreme experience in sports? Nope. Because I was an incredible athlete that he thought would attract more clients? Absolutely not. Lee Steinberg hired me because of my skills, my knowledge, and my desire. See, when you develop your essence, your authentic skill, your authentic knowledge of who and what you love or can learn to love, there's so many options and opportunities and touches of favor. What I love about the movie Jerry Maguire, and why so many people love the movie Jerry Maguire, is not because it's their favorite sports film, although that's the way they'll approach me. Favorite sports movie of all time, Dave, Jerry Maguire. No, it's a love story in the backdrop of sports. That's why so many men and women love Jerry Maguire. It gives men permission to love a love story and women permission to go to see it with their husband. That's why it's so popular today. That's why Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger and Cuba Gooding Jr. and all the incredible actors wanted to be in that film. And Cameron Crowe wanted to write about it because he wanted to write about a love story with a popular backdrop of sports. If you want to work in sports, then develop your skills, develop your knowledge of who and what, and have that desire to be consistent every day, persistent without quit in the pursuit of your potential, because that common denominator of your success will be the desire to be what you must be. Your purpose will always be greater than the pain, and there'll always be pain. To do something extraordinary, I promise you, it's uncomfortable, which creates pain. You will challenge yourself and enjoy that challenge. So you don't have to cater your skills and your knowledge towards sports, because you can tell me today what you feel your greatest skills are, what you feel your greatest knowledge are, and your desire to work in sports, and I'll tell you a career in sports that's applicable. Dave, I want to be a teacher. I know a ton of great careers in sports to be a teacher. Dave, I love digital marketing. Beautiful. I love music. No problem. I love art. No problem. I love facility management. I love engineering. No problem. I love the law. No problem. I love to be a doctor. No problem. I want to be a politician. Not a problem. All of those jobs in sports, and the best people not only love what they do in sports because they love sports as a backdrop, they love showing up at a stadium. You know where my office is? It's at SoFi Stadium. Inside SoFi Stadium, I have a podcast studio, a training center. I have my offices. All my employees, the kids that are here today working with me, they go to SoFi Stadium for work. We run events from there. I do all types of business inside a stadium. Will I ever step on the field to play? Not a chance. But I cry sometimes looking out. I have the biggest waiting room in the world, 60,000 seats. So if any of you ever want to come visit me in my office, we've got plenty of room. But it's just a backdrop to me. But I know my skills. I know the knowledge I have of who and what and my desire. And I ask for help. I find the best people and ask them for directions on where they want to be. That's my greatest thing, working with Lee Steinberg, Warren Moon, all these people I've worked with. All I did was ask them for help. And you guys have much more access than me. And guess what? Old people like me, all we want to do is help you. So don't be afraid to ask. I promise you, you'll be amazed how many people just keep saying yes, yes, yes. Don't cheat us of the greatest joy of our life is to feel important and to be able to think that we're actually providing value to you. My greatest successes of being old right now is that kids that I have mentored, kids who have worked for me, Al Guido, president of the Niners, Jake Reynolds, president of Harris Blitzer, that's the Islanders, the 76ers, if you don't know Harris Blitzer, also just the Commanders invested in them, bought it from Snyder, who's also a friend of mine, CEO of Hyperice, the COO of AEG, the chief revenue officer of SoFi Stadium. I wonder how David got his office in SoFi Stadium. Helping. Because there's no greater joy than seeing all of them succeed, elevating others to elevate yourself. Allow us to do it. Ask for help.